無妙法蓮華経、南無妙法蓮華経、南無妙法蓮華経。Chapter 20. I have a message. Ta-da! Okay. All good here. Sorry, personal business. Chapter 20. So, you've heard me talk about the kind of attitude and intent we need to hang on to throughout the day, yeah? As long as we keep practicing keeping our mind in the Buddha realm rather than samsara, it's fairly easy to be attentive, to have the intent toward enlightenment. Part of that, when we meet others, whether they're longtime friends or relatives or they're new acquaintances or just people we run into in the store. Happens all the time, right? We are nothing if not well-trained shoppers. And I don't mean how we shop. I mean just that we shop. Anyway, political again, Sylvain. It's essential that we see everyone in our environment. And not just, I don't want to get too weird here, but not just everyone, but everything. Anyway, people as their potential Buddhahood. Because everybody has that potential. They just need to exercise it as we do, right? So you never know when you meet somebody. And sometimes it's not under the greatest circumstances. Sometimes they bumped into us in traffic. And now we have to exchange insurance papers or blah, 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 blah. You're still dealing with Buddhahood. It's hard to remember that sometimes. Believe me, I know it. So, chapter 20 is about this very thing. It's a story, another story, about somebody who seems to excel at doing this. And see what happens to you internally, in your emotions, in your thoughts, how you gravitate toward the person in this story. It might tell you a little bit about where you're at. But I remember when I first read it, I go, oh yeah, that's all well and good as a story. Pfft, nobody could do that. Well, first of all, suffice it to say, Buddhism is a goal-oriented teaching, isn't it? Yes, we all are innately capable of Buddha mind. That doesn't mean we all have the exact same path to realizing how to accomplish that, but it's there. So get to work. Nobody can do it for you, right? And by the way, we're all doing this together. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your practice. And know this, we are all friends. Good friends, actually. By Shakyamuni's description and all of the scholarship of Buddhism, those of us who participate in cultivating our own Buddha training, Buddha mind, are sharing by growing the Sangha, this Buddha mind. This means we are all good friends. Now, maybe I can't come over to your house and have pizza and sodas and with you and watch terrible movies or whatever. But this friendship is far more profound, don't you think? So, yeah, I am your friend. Okay? Chapter 10, The Bodhisattva Never Despising. Right off the bat, when I first read this, the title, And the version I read was never disparaging. And I thought, ho, that's not me. I'm pretty critical. this is going to be fun. But nevertheless, consider. At that time, the Buddha addressed Bodhisattva Mahasattva, great power obtained. Now, he says, you should know that if bhikshus, bhikshunis, upasakas and upasikas keep the law, flower, dharma, sutra, and if anyone curses, abuses, and slanders them, that person will receive such great punishment as before announced. Right? He's talked about this before. We're good friends. And those who would assail us, whatever, maybe they're jealous of our friendship. Maybe they're jealous that we know something they don't. They keep themselves from knowing because they don't want to know that they don't know. I mean, humans are weird. But for whatever reason, maybe they tried practicing and had bad influences, and so they failed, and that makes me incredibly sad. But your comportments will make the difference as to when they'll change their mind and see an opportunity. If you comport yourself badly, you'll justify their anger, upset, and whatever it is that's driving them, yeah? Anyway, this is just to say that we should have compassion for those people who throw sticks and stones at us because they are getting in their own way of enlightenment, right? But those who attain merits, such as those previously announced, right? The eyes, ears, nose, body, mind, all those things we just talked about. Our thoughts will be clear and pure. So you won't have to think about thinking about thinking this. Because if you're working on Buddhahood, you'll automatically feel it like, ah. Right? Don't take offense. Just because it's offered doesn't mean you have to pick it up. Right? When people offer offense to you, I'm not talking about harm. I'm talking words and derision and so on. They're putting their own state of being on display. It has nothing to do with you. So don't take it. Great power obtained. In a past period of olden times, infinite, boundless, inconceivable, and asankhya kalpas ago, there was a Buddha named King of Majestic Voice, Tathagata. So in other words, the engine of life since beginningless time, yes? Worthy of praise, all-wise, perfectly enlightened in conduct, well-departed, understander of the world, peerless leader, controller, teacher of universal realms of influence and men, Buddha, world-honored one, whose kalpa was named free from decline and his domain all complete. Well, this is the laudable engine of life. Without the engine of life, snow, right? There's none, there's nothing. There's just quiescent energy, potential. So once potential manifests, what's exciting is the potential manifesting into the realm of forms, yes? Whether somebody judges it as good or bad makes no difference. Is a supernova bad? Is a planet good? Those judgments, those are samsaric things. Those are judgments born of obtaining, possessing, identification, right? That Buddha, King of Majestic Voice, sound, in that world, taught to universal realms of influence, the 3,000 realms, in the 3,000 realms of influence, in the manifestation of the cosmos, men and asuras, to those who sought to be Sravakas, he taught response to the law of the Four Noble Truths. For escape from birth, old age, disease, and death, leading finally to nirvana. Right? The first major teaching of the Four Noble Truths. If you look at the Four Noble Truths from what we know, from the perspective of the Lotus teaching, from Myoho Renge Kyo, totally makes sense. Totally the same thing we know, but it's couched in a rhetoric that applies to his audience at that time. It's not fully developed for the minds that have the capacity for Buddhahood, but are greatly obfuscated by samsara. So it has to gel for a long time. Right? Makes sense? Just like a young mind in the fourth grade isn't ready for, higher maths, physics, quantum theory. They'll get something out of it, but their capacity isn't up to full understanding and acceptance, yeah? To those who sought to be Pratyeka Buddhas, he taught response to the law of the 12 causes, right? The Nidana. Look at how energy forms, and in the rhetoric they could understand. If you read the Nidana, and my favorite book on that is Julius Evola's The Something of Awakening, the Process of Awakening, The Doctrine of Awakening. That's the name of the book. It's an older book, and it's about the early teachings, but the way he breaks down the Nidana, beautiful. All right, the 12 causes. To bodhisattvas, he, by means of perfect enlightenment, taught response to the 6 paramitas for the perfecting of Buddha wisdom. And that's all about social behavior, really. Although social behavior starts with your mind, but it's an interactive teaching, yeah? Much like the Eightfold Path, Noble Path is, which stems from the Four Noble Truths. There's so much repetition in Buddhism. It's just a matter of how profoundly you understand. The student, I mean. Not you personally, but we are students. We are monks. Definition of monk, right? Dedicated student. Great power obtained. The lifetime of this Buddha, king of majestic voice, was 40 myriad kotas of nayutas of kalpas, as many as the sands of the Ganges. The number of kalpas during which the right Dharma law remained in the world was equal to the atoms of Jambudvipa. Now that's very poetic, hyperbolic, however you want to, whatever adjectives you want to stick to it, but he gets down to the every atom in Jambudvipa, which some think Jambudvipa is the world, but when Shakyamuni talks about the world, he's talking about the 3,000-fold realm, the trikloyokosm, however you pronounce that word, the cosmos. That's Jambudvipa. And every atom in it, he is talking about the engine of life. Tathagata. And that's timeless. So always these huge terms of time that are unfathomable, because that's the point. And the number of kalpas during which the counterfeit or semblance dharma or law remained was equal to the atoms of 4 continents. After that, Buddha had abundantly benefited all living beings. He became extinct. After the right Dharma law and counterfeit law had entirely disappeared in that domain, there again appeared a Buddha. He was also entitled King of Majestic Voice, Tathagata. Worthy of praise, all-wise, perfectly enlightened, conduct, blah, 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 world-honored one, Buddha. Thus, in succession, there were 20,000 Kodas of Buddhas who all had the same title. This is just another way of illustrating it. Tathagata is the cosmos. That there's always, as long as there is a living being, there is Buddha. Well, Tathagata, whether someone has the wherewithal to understand Tathagata, to experience Tathagata, that is Buddha, that is what we're doing, is constant. After the extinction of the first Tathagata king of Majestic Voice, and after the end of the right Dharma law during the period of the counterfeit law, bhikshus of utmost arrogance obtain the chief power. Now this is getting a little bit more autobiographical, but let's move on. At that period, there was a bodhisattva bhikshu named Never Despising. Great power obtained. For what reason was he named Never Despising? Because that bhikshu paid respect to and commended everybody whom he saw. Bhikshu, bhikshuni, upasaka, upasika, speaking thus. Bodhisattva never despises. Well, upon meeting anyone, well, Buddhist in this case, I deeply revere you. In other words, you're practicing Buddhism. Even these really arrogant ones that he's talking about. He's making reference to the early, right, the Hinayana, the Theravada. Not all of them, but many of the leaders of those early teachings thought they had learned fully what they had not learned. Remember that statement. And early in the Lotus Sutra, they're called out. And some of them actually leave. They're that arrogant. But everybody else is getting the point, although no one will forget the lesson, right? So he's saying in that time, there were some very arrogant monks. And at the same time, there was a bodhisattva, Never Despising, and he always said to other Buddhists, I deeply revere you. I dare not slight and curse you. For what reason? Because you all walk in the bodhisattva way and are destined to become Buddhas. How can I besmirch your act, even no matter what it is that empirically you're doing that's arrogant and bad? I wouldn't even dare say a word, because eventually you'll attain Buddhahood. Now that's a pretty humble statement, and actually humble but very compassionate and dignified thing to say. Not that everyone will hear it that way, but this was his comportment. And that bhikshu did not devote himself to reading and reciting the sutras, but only to offering respect, so that when he saw afar off a member of the four groups, he would specially go and offer respect to them, commending them and saying, I dare not slight you because you are all destined to become Buddhas. Now, again, I remind you, this is to bhikshus, bhikshunis, upasakas, upasikas, people on the path, right? Whatever their level of acceptance and understanding, they're on the path. They're working it. Amongst the four groups, there were those who, irritated and angry and muddy-minded, disparaged and erroneously often abused him, saying, where did this ignorant bhikshu come from? Who takes it on himself to say, I do not slight you? And who predicts us as destined to become Buddhas? We need no such false prediction. Who do you think you are? He's not saying that to insult them. He's genuinely, you're on the way to Buddhahood. But, you know, some people, what, you're better than me? Right? Human behavior. Thus he passed many years, constantly disparaged and maligned, but never getting irritated or angry. Always saying, you are destined to become Buddhas. How amazing, right? Whenever he spoke thus, some people beat him with clubs and sticks, potsherds and stones. Damn. It's hard to reason this out, isn't it? But while escaping to a distance, he still cried out, I dare not slight you. You are all destined to become Buddhas. Oh, that arrogant son of a bitch, right? Well, he's not the arrogant one. But, you know, depends on your life condition, doesn't it? And because he always spoke thus, the haughty bhikshus and bhikshunis, upasakas and upasikas, styled him never despising. Oh, yeah, there's that never despising guy. What a clown, right? When this bhikshu was drawing near his end, from the sky he heard and was entirely able to receive and retain 20,000 myriad kotas of verses of the Lotus Flower Sutra, which the Buddha King of Majestic Voice had formerly taught. Didn't know there were that many verses. But obviously what we're talking about is the waves of enlightenment and clarity one achieves while practicing Lotus Sutra Buddhism, yes? Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Whereupon he obtained, as above, clearness and purity of the eye organ consciousness, and of the organs of the ear, nose, tongue, body, and thought. Having obtained the purity of these six organs, he further prolonged his life for 200 myriad kotas of nayutas of years and widely taught this Law Flower Dharma Sutra to the monks. So this influence of never despising, you see, these are all personages, never forget. This isn't one man or woman. This is the effort. And that effort reverberates through many, many years. And at some point, that effort begets a great insight into the Lotus Sutra and shares it with others. Hello, my friends. Is this not about us? Having obtained the purity of these six organs, he further prolongs his life for 200 myriad kotas of nayutas of years and widely taught this Law Flower Dharma Sutra to the monks. Then the haughty four orders of bhikshus, bhikshunis, upasakas, and upasikas who had slighted and cursed this man and given him the nickname Never Despising, seeing him possessed of great transcendent powers, of power of eloquent discourse, and of power of excellent meditation, and having heard this teaching, his teaching, all accepted and followed him. Wow, this guy's amazing. This bodhisattva again converted thousands of myriads of kotas of beings to perfect enlightenment. Oh, everyone came around, right? Eventually, they had to give him merit for what they, what was it, out of fear, jealousy? They disparaged him or her. Finally, they come around. Nearing the end of his lifetime, he met 2,000 kotas of Buddhas who were all entitled Sun, Moon, Light. And under their law, he taught this Law Flower Dharma Sutra. Because of this, he again met 2,000 Kodasa Buddhas, all equally entitled Sovereign Light King of the Clouds. Because under the law of those Buddhas, he received, kept, read, recited, and taught this sutra to all the four groups, he obtained clearness and purity of the common eye and of the organs of ear, nose, tongue, body, and thought, and among the four groups taught the law fearlessly. Now, all these Buddhas he's meeting, it's no different than the way the story started. It's just his capacity keeps growing, right? And this is the way we should see everyone we meet. We're meeting Buddhas. They may not be there. They may not recognize their own Buddhahood. But we recognize it. We know what it is. It's in there. Do you see? All of us are Buddhas in the making. Great power obtained, the Bodhisattva Shakyamuni is talking to right now. This Bodhisattva Mahasattva, never despising, oh, now he's a Bodhisattva Mahasattva, paid homage to such numerous Buddhas as these, revering, honoring, and extolling them, and after cultivating the roots of goodness, again he met thousands of myriads of Kodasa Buddhas, and also under the law of those Buddhas taught this sutra. His merits being complete, he then became a Buddha. Great power obtained, what is your opinion? Can it be that the Bodhisattva, never despising, was at that time somebody else? Was he himself a personage of some other entity? He was really I myself. If I, in former lives, had not received and kept, read, and recited this sutra and taught it to others, I should not have been able so soon to attain perfect enlightenment. Now, this confuses a lot of people, right? What is he saying? That he lived as a bodhisattva for all this time? No. Remember, he's talking about potential. He's talking about timelessness of tathagata-ness, the engine of life. And when he sat beneath the Bodhi tree, as the story goes, and he dreamt all of these messages and ideas and thoughts, and Buddha came to him. His enlightenment. He recognized in his enlightenment that enlightenment is always there. It simply needs to be acted upon, embraced. And that's the answer to his initial query. How can living beings live free of the sufferings of birth, old age, sickness, and death? By living life Buddha-wise, really wise, knowledgeable, knowing that everything is amazing, that even this severed leg is amazing. There's nothing to have strife about. The suffering is taking us away from the amazing engine of life. The engine of life is so massive and amazing that these paltry things that we worry about, our phone crashing, losing our wallet, having fights with our mates about pudding. It's incredible the lengths we will go to in samsara to claim some specialness when all the while engine of life is happening. We are in it. We are moving through the cosmos. with everything, all at once, into the next. Life, the engine of life, is so bewilderingly amazing. How can we let such paltry little things, yes, paltry little things, completely destroy our experience of life? But we do. That's samsara. It's ego. I don't want to minimize it. It's huge. That's why it takes a lot of effort to do this practice. Courage. To let go of all that stuff we identify with, because it's not us. Great power obtained. At that time, the four groups, bhikshus, bhikshunis, upasakas, and upasikas, for 200 kodas of kalpas, they never met a Buddha, never heard the law, never saw a sangha, and for 1,000 kalpas underwent great sufferings in the Avicii hell, which I have already described, and it's in Buddhism reference. The Avicii hell is this, through the samsaric mind. Cleansing ourselves of the samsaric mind into Buddhahood, this same Avicii hell becomes, for us, the Buddha land. It's not a different place. It's a different mind. After their error or delusion was brought to an end, they again met the Bodhisattva, never despising, who taught and converted them to perfect enlightenment. Great power obtained. What is your opinion? Those four groups at that time who constantly slighted the Bodhisattva, can they indeed be somebody else? They're now in this assembly. The 500 Bodhisattva Bhadrapala and the others, the 500 Bhikshunis Lion Moon and the others, the 500 Upasakas thinking of Buddha and the others, who will never retreat from perfect enlightenment. No, K-N-O-W, no. Great power obtained. This Law Flower Dharma Sutra greatly benefits all Bodhisattva Mahasattvas and enables them to reach perfect enlightenment. Therefore, all Bodhisattva Mahasattvas, after my extinction of the Tathagata, should ever receive and keep, read and recite, expound and copy this sutra. Then the world-honored one, desiring to proclaim this teaching over again, spoke thus in verse. And I'm going to save that for the next video because it bears repetition, and I don't want you to get tired of hearing the same message, but if you hear it on two different instances, in different ways, perhaps they'll help certain ideas gestate, right? They'll become clearer. That's my hope. I think that's how this works. I think that's why the teachings are the way they are. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Everything in life is through the mind. Without your mind, would you even know life? Let alone its profundity or its meaning. What is meaning if not perception through the mind? So this is an elaborate story, but it's really a simple concept. Staying mindful of one's really, dignity. The dignity of being in the engine of life. Conscious, sentient, a witness of this gargantuan process of which we are a part. If we could see ourselves as somehow filaments connecting us with all other living beings, would we not be a little more concerned about causing them harm? Let alone, trying to somehow hurt them through offense. That whole mechanism is so perverted. Like I said, the only way you can hurt someone with offense is if someone takes it. Learn to laugh at that. It's not harmful. It's just somebody crying out. They're hurting. The offender is the one who's hurting. Don't take it away from them and go, oh, yes, gladly, I will feel horrible because you said those things. What are you doing? This is why I said, dignity. Have some dignity. Wait a minute. I'm working on my Buddha mind. I'm living a bodhisattva life. What you're doing, relax, don't do that. You're only harming yourself. That's funny. Right? It's funny because it's so absurd. Don't take offense. And remain a friend. Yeah. Talk about messing up somebody's mind. I hope that makes sense. It's quite important, actually. Especially in the scope of what is the Lotus teaching. Always, always, always about attitude and intent, about the mind. You are in full control of the manner in which you experience life. Not your life, life. Because that's yours. Okay. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you so much for listening. You know the links are all in the description. You guys, from liking and subscribing, which is a bodhisattva act because it helps grow the sangha, to those of you who are purchasing ebooks and books and mandalas, make sure you make use of all the free information on the website and on the podcasts. Patrons, your monthly donations keep me afloat. Keep this happening. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. All of you, working your bodhisattva path with great respect and admiration. Please take care of your health, and I will see you in the next one. Okay? Bye for now.